Captain's log, stardate 45376.3. We're approaching the planet Belana 3, where a new method of propulsion known as the Soliton Wave is being developed. The Enterprise has been asked to participate in one of the first tests of this new technology.
Data! Data, isn't this exciting? We are going to witness a moment in history.
Every nanosecond in this continuum is a moment in history, once it has elapsed.
No. I mean, we are going to see something that people will talk about for years. I mean, think about it. No more bulky warp engines or nacelles. A ship just generates a soliton wave and then rides it through space like a surfboard. This is going to be like being there to watch Chuck Yeager break the sound barrier or Zefren Cochrane engage the first warp drive.
It should be interesting.
Very exciting.
I'm talking to the wrong crowd. Donaldson, you're an engineer.
Lieutenant Worf, you have a subspace communication from the transport ship Milan.
Transfer the signal to this station.
Hello, Worf.
Mother.
I hope you don't mind us dropping in on you like this, but when I heard the Enterprise was to be in this sector, we took the first transport, and here we are.
Is Father with you?
No, but I brought Alexander with me. I thought the two of you would like the chance to visit.
Very well. I will make arrangements for you to come aboard.
Good.
What? See you. You look wonderful. Is that a touch of gray in your beard? Don't worry. Krashenko men have always had beards of iron gray.
Worf turns to young Alexander, who has remained motionless and stony-faced since his arrival.
Hello, Alexander.
Hello.
They merely shake hands.
It's good to see you both. How long can you stay?
I'm not going back.
Worf frowns, silently questioning his mother as she stands sheepishly by. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled New Ground, voiced by Glenn MacCready. A comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet. The Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat plains of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines of the Enterprise power up, explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. Worf respectfully escorts his mother to a table in 10 forward.
Did you see the look on Alexander's face when he saw the play area? He's going to love it here.
Mother, why does Alexander believe he is remaining?
An absence you saw, please. Are you eating? You look thin.
Mother.
When your father was in Starfleet, I always had to make sure that I was...
Mother, we need to talk about Alexander.
Alexander is a fine boy, Worf. He's smart and he's high-spirited, not like you were at that age. And sometimes when he comes running through the house and he knocks over that big green lamp just like you used to do.
I don't remember you smiling when I knocked over that lamp.
Well, maybe once, when you weren't looking. When we learned Alexander was to come to live with us, we were so happy. The house had been so empty since you left, and we thought, here's our chance to fill it with the sound of children again. But the truth is, Worf, your father and I, we're getting old.
Mother, you both have many years.
Oh, I don't mean we're ready for the grave, not yet, anyway, but we're a little less active. And it's harder for us to keep up with Alexander. We're ready to be just grandparents. Alexander needs to be with his father, Worf.
Mother, that is not possible. We must find another option.
He needs his father, Worf. Alexander is... he's having difficulties.
Difficulties?
He's disobedient.
Klingon children are often difficult to control.
I do know something about how Klingon children behave. It's not just his willful attitude. He doesn't always tell the truth.
My son is a liar?
He is a boy, Worf, and boys sometimes take the wrong path. They need guidance. He needs a father. His father to give him that guidance. I have to leave soon. The transport will be leaving for Earth. You must do what you think is best for him. That's all a parent can hope to do.
As she clutches his arm, Worf softens and pats her hand. Aboard the Enterprise, Worf and Alexander stroll together.
Did you enjoy going to school on Earth?
Yes.
Worf struggles to make small talk.
Did you like your teachers?
Yes.
Good. I understand you lived in my old room.
Uh-huh.
Good.
Come in. Lieutenant Worf. Very nice to see you again. And you must be Alexander. I hear you'll be coming to school with us for a while.
He regards some building blocks with disdain.
Well, we're very excited to have you with us. I know the other boys and girls will be happy to have a new classmate. First I need to get some information from you.
Worf guides his son to the seats in front of the hapless teacher's desk.
Let's start with your name. Alexander Roshenko. That's a tough one. Maybe you could help me with that. Could you spell your last name for me?
He deliberately pays no attention.
Alexander. The teacher asked you a question.
It doesn't matter. I think I can figure it out. Date of birth.
Worf makes to reply but realizes guiltily he does not know. Alexander is crushed.
The 43rd day of MacTac, starting 43205.
Yes, of course.
I'll get the rest of his personal records from the school on Earth, and... oh, one last question. How long will he be staying aboard ship?
It has not been decided.
Alexander is unpleasantly surprised by his father's answer. In the ready room, Picard toys with a pen, lost in thought.
Come. Worf, I thought our meeting was scheduled for 1100 hours.
I apologize for being late, Captain. I was detained in school. I was enrolling my son in class.
I see. Well, Mr. Worf, as you are aware, several new security officers will be transferred into the Enterprise next week, and I would like to discuss...
File to Lieutenant Worf.
Worf here.
I'm sorry to bother you again, Lieutenant, but I forgot to mention that we need to arrange for a series of placement examinations for Alexander. If you could tell me
this when... is not a good time. I will contact you shortly, Miss Kyle. Sorry, Captain.
I would like to discuss with you the specific areas of ship security that I would like to...
Sickbay to Worf?
Yes, Doctor.
I need to schedule a physical examination for Alexander. I also need his complete medical records from Earth and the medical records of his mother.
I would rather discuss this at a later time.
There's no rush. Crush her out.
Mr. Worf. You are not the first officer on this ship to have a new family member. Take care of your son. The security matters can wait.
Thank you, Captain.
Picard is amused to see how much Worf would much rather avoid these chores. Picard and his officers attend a briefing.
23 field coils working in concert will generate the soliton wave from this point on the planet's surface. We will have our test ship towed to a position approximately 2 million kilometers from B'Elanna 3. If our theories are correct, the wave will envelop the ship and push it into warp.
Warp without warp drive. They're going to put you out of a job, Geordi.
I hope so, Commander.
Dr. Jadar, how closely will the Enterprise need to follow the test vehicle?
The soliton emits a great deal of subspace radio interference. You'll need to remain within 20 kilometers in order to receive telemetry.
Doctor, how will you end the experiment?
The wave will be directed toward Lama 2, about 3 light years distance. Our sister facility there will generate a scattering field which will dissipate the wave and bring the ship out of warp. I'll be sending you more detailed operational plans within the hour.
Very well, Doctor. We'll contact you again when we finish studying the mission specs.
LaForge stays to talk to Dr. Jadar. Picard, Riker, and Worf make their way to the bridge where Deanna Troi is waiting.
Worf? I was just talking to Mrs. Kyle, a primary school teacher. She told me you'd enrolled Alexander in her class this morning.
Yes.
I'm sure he'll do very well. She's a wonderful teacher.
Good.
Did she tell you about the father-son field trip this afternoon?
Yes, we cannot attend.
Why not?
I have a personnel review scheduled at 1300 hours.
This would be a good opportunity for you to meet some of the other students and parents.
Well, I might be able to reschedule the review.
Good. I'll let them know you're coming.
Worf gets the unpleasant feeling he's been railroaded. On the field trip...
As the value of their horns increased, the number of white rhinos in the wild kept falling until they finally became extinct about 2 centuries ago. Now, I'd like to show you a pair of animals that we're trying to save from extinction. Would you follow me?
The group makes its way to a mesh-fronted cage. Alexander breaks away and studies some models of an alligator and various other creatures from across the galaxy, the largest being something between a tyrannosaur and a blue bottle. He's warily observed by his teacher.
They're from Corvin 2, where their homes in the rainforests are being threatened by industrial pollutants. They're called Corvin Gilvos.
She taps the cage.
Well, they're a little shy. The eating habits of the Gilvos are very similar to those of Earth's Draco lizards, which died out over 300 years ago. There are only 14 Gilvos left on Corvin 2. We're transplanting these two to the protected planet Brentalia, where they should thrive. Well, why don't you all have a look around on your own for a while, and if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Alexander, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell everyone that the models on the tables were for everyone to play with. So I guess you didn't know you weren't supposed to take them. I saw you playing with the lizard model a while ago. Do you still have it?
Are you accusing him of stealing?
Lieutenant Worf, I can only tell you that...
Alexander. Did you take the model of the lizard from the table?
No, sir.
Lieutenant, I saw Alexander put the model inside of his jacket.
Worf reaches down towards his son's jacket pockets. The first is empty, but in the second pocket he finds the model. Embarrassed and disappointed, his attention moves from the model to the teacher and finally to his son.
Lieutenant Worf, personal log, stardate 45376.8. Alexander has acted shamefully, and as his father, I must now deal with him. But I find that I would rather fight 10 Balduck warriors than face one small child. A Klingon's honor is more important to him than his life. A Klingon would gladly face the most horrible punishment rather than bring shame or disgrace to his family name. His word is his bond. Without it, he is nothing. Do you understand?
Alexander is close to tears, but eventually he nods his reply.
Why did you lie to me?
I don't know.
Did you fear the punishment you would receive?
I don't know.
You don't know why you lied, and yet you did. You don't know why you stole, and yet you did.
Worf turns away, struggling to control his temper.
Alexander, come here.
Fearfully, Alexander makes his way across the room to his father, who takes his arm and gently sits him down next to him on the couch.
When I was a child, younger than you, I lost my parents, my family, my people. Everything I had was taken from me, except my sense of honor. It was the one thing I had that was truly Klingon, which no one could take away. Do you know who they are?
Worf nods to a statue.
Kallus?
And his brother Moroth. They fought for 12 days and 12 nights because Moroth had broken his word and brought shame to his family. When you lie or steal, you not only dishonor yourself, but your family. You dishonor me.
I'm sorry, Father. I won't do it ever again. I promise.
I accept your word. We will not speak of this again.
In a corridor, Worf is deep in thought.
Worf?
Counselor.
I just wanted to know how the field trip went yesterday.
You have not heard.
No. Why?
Bridge. There was an incident. Alexander stole a small model and then told a falsehood. But I've remedied the situation.
May I ask how?
I pointed out his error, told him about Kallus and Moroth, and explained the value of honor. The boy understood.
I see. Sometimes these things aren't over as quickly as they seem to be. I'd be happy to help if you have any further problems.
Thank you. That will not be necessary. Alexander will not repeat this mistake.
Deanna sits next to Picard. Worf stands on the gantry behind.
The prototype has been towed into position, Captain.
Initiate a radio link to the ship.
Link established. Receiving pre-launch telemetry now.
Incoming message from Dr. Jadar.
On screen.
Captain, we're ready to begin the launch sequence.
Mr. Riker, all science labs standing by.
Course laid in, sir.
The Enterprise is ready, Doctor.
This is Dr. Jadar to all stations. You may begin the launch sequence.
And Doctor, good luck.
Thank you, Captain.
Sensors indicate the field generators on the planet's surface are charging, Captain.
The Soliton wave has been initiated. It's heading for the test ship.
A coruscating, undulating wave of energy buffets the test ship away.
The test ship has successfully entered warp, sir.
Ensign,
Engage.
The Enterprise's thrusters glow so brightly the ship is almost blotted out, then it appears to stretch before vanishing into a blaze of white light.
Ensign, bring us to within 20 kilometers of the test ship.
Aye, sir.
Telemetry looks good. The Soliton wave is steady.
The test ship is maintaining at warp 2.35, sir.
That's a little faster than they anticipated, but still well within mission parameters.
We're at 20 kilometers, Captain.
Mr. Data, is the wave affecting our warp drive?
No, sir. The effect has been localized within 2 kilometers of the wave front.
The spectacular wave continues to propel the test ship, with the Enterprise observing at a safe distance.
Mr. LaForge, what's the power efficiency of the wave?
Energy transfer is 98%.
98?
Yes, sir. There's less than a 2% energy loss between the wave and the ship.
That is 450% more efficient than our own warp drive.
Astonishing. Commander Riker, have Science Lab 3 begin a series of gamma emission tests.
Sir, the wave's power signature is fluctuating.
Wave efficiency has dropped to 73%.
Test ship's warp field is becoming unstable. Sensors show multiple disruptions.
I'm reading a severe subspace distortion, sir.
It is expanding toward us. It appears to be interfering with our engines, Captain.
I can't compensate for it.
Bring us out of warp, Ensign. All stop.
Aye, sir. All stop.
On the observation screen, wave and test ship almost disappear, then a massive spiraling explosion rocks the Enterprise and sends its crew sprawling. On the bridge, a badly shaken crew recovers.
Damage report.
Sensors and warp drive are offline. Deflectors down to 15%.
Several injuries reported on deck 27. No fatalities.
What happened to the test ship?
Our last readings indicate the craft exploded due to extreme shearing stress.
Incoming message from Balana 3, Captain.
On screen.
Captain, are you all right? Was anyone hurt?
We sustained some minor damage. Do you know what happened?
The preliminary data we received indicate a transient power imbalance.
That would be consistent with our telemetry readings from the ship. We detected a sudden drop in transfer efficiency just before the explosion.
Are you still tracking the wave?
No, the explosion damaged our main sensor array, but I think we'll have it repaired in a couple of hours.
We'll contact you as soon as the sensors are back online.
Doctor. You did it. Warp without warp drive. For a while there, it was really something to see.
Well, I hope you're here to see it next time we try, Mr. LaForge.
So do I, Doctor.
Alexander's teacher waits patiently.
I apologize. I was detained.
It's quite all right. Please, sit down.
Thank you.
Lieutenant, your son is a very bright, very spirited young man. From his test scores, I'm sure he'll turn out to be one of my best students. However, from his behavior in class so far, I do have some concerns.
What sort of concerns?
Frankly, he's defiant. He's overly aggressive toward the other students, and he has a great deal of difficulty paying attention.
Perhaps you do not have experience dealing with Klingon children. They require a firm hand.
And he seems to still have difficulty telling the truth. He takes toys from the other students and then denies taking them. He acts like a bully and then says someone else started the fight. And he's bluntly told me, you said, Klingons do not listen to teachers.
I did not tell him that.
No, of course not. He's acting on his internal feelings and then making up stories to explain them. It might be a good idea for the two of you to sit down with Counselor Troy and try...
Computer, where is Alexander Roshenko?
Alexander Roshenko is on holodeck 4.
Lieutenant, I think we should...
I will handle this. Computer, what program is being run?
Calisthenics program of Lieutenant Worf. Difficulty level, novice.
Worf taps a button and enters the holodeck to find his son, clad all in white, battling a hideous creature with a green skull-like head. Alexander defends himself with a quarterstaff which doubles as a razor-sharp giant sickle. The creature beckons Alexander closer, and as they engage in another furious bout of swipes and parries, Worf looks on, willing his son to win and almost parrying himself in sympathetic combat. Finally, Alexander forces the creature's sword above its head and seizes his chance to slice it clean in half, at which point the creature vanishes. In spite of himself, Worf is filled with pride.
Computer, freeze program.
Did you see it, Father? I won!
Yes, I saw. Why are you here?
I'm training.
But you did not ask permission to take my batleth, or permission to use the holodeck.
But you said you wanted me to be a warrior.
I also said I wanted you to obey your teachers and keep your promise to me. Ms. Kyle told me about your behavior, about your lies.
I have not lied.
Alexander, do not continue
to... She's lying. She hates me. That's why she makes up stories about me.
I will not listen to more lies.
Worf takes the weapon away from his son.
Return to our quarters.
But you said we could go see the Gilvos again.
Not now. Not after you have broken your word.
You promised. You said that we could.
Enough! It is now clear to me that I have failed in my duties as your father. You have no understanding about what it means to be Klingon. I will arrange for you to attend a Klingon school. There you will learn the lessons I have failed to teach you.
No, I won't go!
Would you further dishonor our family with your disobedience?
No, sir.
You will go to our quarters and remain there until I return.
Alone, Worf examines the weapon.
Riker to engineering. What's your estimate on the engines, Geordi?
I need another hour, Commander. I still have to replace 3 power couplings.
Understood.
Sir, sensors are coming back online.
Good. Begin a sensor sweep for the Soliton wave.
Aye, sir. The wave is continuing on a course to the Lemma 2 colony. It is bearing 020 mark 329.
Open a channel back here to Dr. Jadar.
Sir, the wave has increased in velocity to warp 4.1.
Doctor, we've located the Soliton wave. It's still on a course to Lemma 2. However, the velocity has increased to warp 4.1.
Have you checked the frequency resonance of the subspace?
Sir, the energy level of the wave has increased by a factor of 12. At this rate, it will have increased by a factor of 200 by the time it reaches Lemma 2.
Will we still be able to dissipate the wave?
Commander, at that energy level, the wave will not only destroy the colony, it'll take most of the planet with it.
Deanna and Worf discuss Alexander.
Are you sure this is what you want?
It is not a question of what I want. It is a question of what is best for the boy. He will be better off at a Klingon school.
Have you discussed this with Alexander?
He is a child. I informed him of my decision.
I see.
You disapprove?
I'm not here to approve or disapprove of the way you raise your son. My concern right now is how this decision is going to affect you. How will you feel when Alexander's gone?
I will be pleased that he is receiving the guidance he requires.
Is that how you felt when he left to live with your parents?
Worf turns sharply.
It was different. At the time, I felt he needed a home, a family, things I could not provide for him.
I understand. The idea of raising a child can seem a tremendous burden, especially to a solitary parent.
He was no burden. I simply knew that a Klingon child required more attention than I could provide.
I see. Have you ever wondered how Alexander felt about being sent away?
He was very young. I am sure that he was confused.
Do you think he felt abandoned? After all, he left very soon after Kalar's death. In a way, he not only lost his mother, he lost his father as well.
Are you saying that his misconduct is a result of feeling abandoned?
It's possible. Children don't have the experience to handle emotional crises. Instead of dealing with their feelings, they act on them.
She comes and sits next to Worf.
Tell me about the last time you spoke with Kalar, the night she died.
We argued.
About what?
Alexander. About how she did not tell me about him when he was born.
So you were angry with her?
Yes.
Are you still angry with her?
Of course not.
It would be very normal to be angry with her. Angry because she died and left you alone with a son you never knew you had. Being angry doesn't mean you loved her any less, Worf. But you can't hide from your feelings. Just as Alexander can't hide from his. You both have a lot of healing to do. Perhaps you should think about doing it together.
Even as he considers this, Alexander is angrily packing to leave.
Alexander.
I'm almost done.
Stop for a moment. Let us talk.
Why?
I want you to understand why you are going away.
I understand. You're ashamed of me.
You do not understand. I'm concerned about your future. A Klingon school will be a better environment for you.
You don't care about me.
That is not true.
All you care about is your honor.
Alex. If your mother were here, I do not think that she would want us to fight like this.
My mother wouldn't send me away.
Lieutenant Worf, please report to the observation lounge.
Acknowledged. Remain here. I will return shortly.
With tears of frustration pricking his eyes, Alexander hurls his case to the floor. Picard strides into the observation lounge.
Report.
The Soliton wave has continued to increase and...
Excuse me.
The Soliton wave has continued to increase in power. Its energy level has risen by a factor of 96. At its current rate of acceleration, the wave should hit the planet in a couple of hours.
How do we stop it?
Well, there are two possibilities. We could attempt to use our own warp engines to generate an inverse resonance wave. If we could match the exact frequency and amplitude of the Soliton, then we should be able to neutralize it.
You don't sound very confident.
Because the Soliton is constantly changing in both frequency and amplitude, it will be extremely difficult to achieve an exact match.
Let's hear the second option.
Well, it's a little more dangerous, but I think there's a better chance for success. We could create a backfire, an explosive force set off just in front of the Soliton wave. A large enough explosion, say, 5-photon torpedo, should be enough to disrupt the wave and allow it to dissipate.
How fast is the wave traveling now?
Warp 6.37, sir.
The good news is we can catch it, but the bad news is that in order to set up this backfire, we have to be in front of it.
Which would require the Enterprise to go through the wave.
Why can't we go around it?
The wave has been growing in size as well as power. There's insufficient time remaining for us to circumvent it before it reaches Lemma 2.
How much protection will the shields provide if we attempt to penetrate the wave?
The shields have not been fully restored. Shield strength is down to 33%.
It's gonna be quite a ride.
It's a better choice. Laying a course for the Soliton wave.
The Enterprise banks smoothly left before its jump to warp speed.
Ensign, after we pass through the wave, I want you to take us to a relative position 23 kilometers in front of it.
Aye, sir.
Alert sickbay to prepare for possible casualties.
Aye, sir.
The wave has increased in speed to warp 7.2, Captain.
Ensign, take us to warp 7.21.
Stars hurtle past as the Enterprise accelerates.
We're approaching the wave, Captain. Distance 200 kilometers.
Let's see it.
The wave makes a fanning motion.
Stand by to increase speed to warp 7.3. On my mark.
Red alert! Low torpedo bays, set warhead yield to level 16.
Aye, sir.
All decks, this is the bridge. Brace for impact.
Torpedoes loaded.
Engaged.
The wave is pursued by the Enterprise as Alexander makes his way through the darkened biolab to the creature's cage that had fascinated him so much on the field trip. As he taps the cage, a massive jolt sends him flying. The wave now fills the observation screen and rushes at the Enterprise, each undulation sending shudders through the hull.
Report.
We have passed through the wave, Captain.
We have dropped to warp 7.2. The wave is directly astern at a distance of 23 kilometers.
Deflector strength is down to 12%. There are fluctuations in several warp transfer conduits. Tractor beams and transporters offline.
We have some gaps in the aft shields, Captain. When the torpedoes explode, these areas will be contaminated with ion radiation. We need to evacuate sections 24 to 47, decks 35 to 38.
Make it so.
Sir, there is a fire in Biolab 4. The fire suppression apparatus is not functioning.
Seal off that compartment. Prepare to vent the air.
Sir, there are life forms present in that biolab.
We're transporting endangered animals from Corban 2.
Readings also indicate the presence of a humanoid, Captain.
Computer, identify humanoid life form in Biolab 4.
Life form is identified as Alexander Roshenko.
Worf's face fills with dread.
Bridge to Biolab 4. Alexander, can you hear us?
Sensors show he is alive. He may be injured.
Can we transport him out of there?
Transporters are still offline.
Captain, warp power is dropping. We're losing speed.
Regular engineering. Geordi, what is going on?
We lost four warp transfer conduits, Commander.
The wave is gaining on us. We need more speed.
I doubt that I can keep this speed up much longer, Commander. You'd better fire those torpedoes while we're still in front of the wave.
Mr. Data, how long before the wave overtakes us?
At our current speed, 4 minutes, 30 seconds, sir.
Captain, permission to leave the bridge.
Granted. Commander, will you accompany Mr. Worf to Biolab 4?
Captain, Biolab 4 is one of the areas that will be flooded with ion radiation.
Commander! I can't let the soliton wave hit the colony. You have 3 minutes, not 1 second more.
The Enterprise is now pursued by the soliton wave. Riker tries the Biolab 4 door mechanism.
Primary controls shorted out.
Worf wrenches a panel from the wall and frantically rearranges the circuit boards.
Stand clear!
Riker runs to the other side of the door and Worf again taps the release button, and this time flames pour through the doorway as it slides open. They go in.
The soliton wave is close to 10 kilometers, Captain.
Stand by to fire torpedoes on my command.
Alexander!
He's trapped under a girder.
Commander! I found him! Worf!
Worf listens for a heartbeat.
Where are you? Worf!
Over here!
Riker runs over, ducking under the flames.
It's too heavy. I've got to find something to help us.
Father.
Be still. I am here.
My leg hurts. I'm scared.
With a monumental effort, Worf succeeds in lifting the girder and hurling it away. Riker discards the pole he'd found and helps remove the rest of the rubble covering the boy. Worf picks up his son.
The devil!
There's no time.
Please! They'll die!
The wave is close to 1 kilometer, Captain.
The guard to Commander Riker. Bridge to Lieutenant Worf, acknowledge.
The wave is about to overtake us, sir.
Commander Riker, acknowledge. Fire torpedoes.
They run out of the biolab, Riker clutching the terrified animals. The torpedoes speed towards the wave as the three run down a corridor away from the inferno. The torpedoes scythe into the wave and it vaporizes.
The wave has been disrupted, sir.
Picard to Riker.
Riker here, Captain.
We made it, sir. Boy's gonna be all right.
Out of breath, Worf cradles his son, overcome with relief. Dr. Crusher examines Alexander.
You're a very lucky little boy. Just some minor smoke inhalation and a hairline fracture of the tibia. That's a bone in your leg. I'd like to keep him here overnight, but he should be fine by tomorrow.
Thank you, Doctor.
As she leaves, Worf stands over his son, arms crossed and stern.
Are you gonna get in trouble because of me?
Do not concern yourself with that.
Am I in trouble?
Yes. But we will discuss that at a later time.
I'm sorry. I promise I'll be good at the Klingon school. I'll make you proud of me.
Klingon schools are designed to be difficult. The physical and mental hardships faced by the students are meant to build character and strength. However, if you wish to face a greater challenge, you may stay here with me. It will not be easy for either of us. But perhaps we can face the challenge together.
I accept your challenge, Father. I will stay.
I believe your mother would be pleased.
Worf gently squeezes his son's shoulder, and Alexander puts a hand over his father's. The end.